Heavenly Father, gathered here in your presence, we ask that you send forth your Spirit now to enlighten us. That Spirit of light, that Spirit of fire. Light for our minds, fire for our wills, to see clearly the path you have chosen for us as men in your service, and to be filled with the strength to enable this journey at every step. Grant, O Lord, overcome our temptations. We can surmount our fears. Deepen our faith in the words and all the works of your only begotten Son. And we ask all these things in his name. Amen. Amen. It's been great being here in Phoenix so far, and I'm really grateful to V.J. Burr and some of the others who welcomed me and helped me out since I've been here. Gentlemen, I am engaged in full-time men's ministry. And there's a reason for that. One of the things I began to see very quickly, married men, single, young and old, even priests, suffering from insecurities, a sense of inferiority, having problems navigating through life, difficult time moving forward without fear, some confused, some unfulfilled, hearts discouraged, broken, having a tough time connecting with a woman they love, divorce rates in the Catholic Church about equal the national average. Men are struggling, as most of you know, with their psychosexual integration. That's what I call it. But what's interesting is what I find is men in their later years, their 40s, 50s, and 60s, very successful, admired by those in the world, admired by those in the church, and they're still trying to ask the question, what's my purpose in life? Imagine that, a Catholic of many years. Is this all there is? And that is not uncommon amongst many men in the Catholic Church. And many of you men understand what I'm saying. And so you begin this search, you try to, but you don't know where to find those answers. And the church, sometimes you feel, doesn't give you all those solutions. And you're looking for something else. Why am I unhappy? Where is this sense of unfulfillment coming from? Why am I having a really tough time bonding with my wife? Gentlemen, it is in your natural office to be formed and summoned to feel confident, self-assured, with a vigor for life, vital. You are called to be a man who inspires other men, a man strong in your service, who can deal with his sins, who can love his God in peace, a man who's a leader, guides all in his care, a fisher of men. You are called by nature to be a man who stands for a principle, a cause, will lay it down for an individual life. You are called to be a man disposed, raised, and summoned to lay everything down, even your own life. Every man, whether priest, single, or layperson, he wants to hear from his mentor, hopefully his father, son, I see it in you. You have what it takes to lay down your life. Every man wants to hear that. You see, our Lord sowed that in you so you could supernaturally be raised and disposed to realize that Christian ideal, that no greater love than a man has than to lay his down life for his friends. You know, it's interesting. Women have this intuition in their lives to naturally and spontaneously give everything they have. It's in them. It's in them by nature. They have these gifts of intuition, personalism, dispositions to lay it all down and selflessly give of themselves. But you see, I've learned, men are different. They need training. Men need to be trained to lay it down, to sacrifice. Men need to be taught many skills. You see, this is the way you become confident and self-assured and approved by other men, when you are indeed led well by other men, summoned by those you respect, by those you honor. Unless you have men in your life to summon you to higher things, to teach you how to give everything of yourself, your God, your family, your country, your friends, church, society, unless you have this guiding and direction, you cannot be happy, you cannot be settled, you cannot be secure. That's just the way it is. It is in the order of nature that we are summoned and fashioned, forged by other men as iron sharpens iron. We need a lot of guidance to reach maturity. And so while we need mentors to train us to many things, We by nature, it's in our souls, it's deeply rooted. We need to be led to something higher. We all need to feel that we are living for a great purpose. And we all, no matter how old we are, we want to make a difference. And that is sown in the soul of every man here. It is in you, gentlemen, by nature, by your Creator. And so this is why, when it comes to men's favorite movies, we like Braveheart, Gladiator, and lately, The Kingdom of Heaven. How many men count these among their favorite movies? A little louder, sir. Those movies your wives and girlfriends just can't stand. You see, men love these movies because they want to be led by a great leader, one who has determination and one who leads you to a great purpose and a great cause. This is why it's very attractive to men to be led forth by William Wallace, a Maximus, a George Washington, a George Patton. You want to, gentlemen, you know when you're watching these movies, you want to stand in those ranks and you want to follow someone you admire that you respect. You see yourself in those ranks and you want to be known as a man in them who has what it takes to lay it all down. And that's what you want to prove to yourself and all those you love. This isn't every man, it's deep in your heart. Every man wants to lay it down, and he wants to lay it down in battle. How many of you guys dream about dying in bed? You get the idea. But you see it in every young boy, and your wives do too. He can turn anything into a fort. He starts with the kitchen table. Every stick to him is a sword or a spear. And he loves his guns. You see, you take away a boy's guns, and he will make them. He will chew his crackers in the shape of a gun. Everything, you remember this, gentlemen, when you were young, everything potentially is a weapon to you. A hanger, a toilet paper roll, your sister's jump rope. You can't take away a young boy's Second Amendment rights. Battle, gentlemen, is every man's paradigm for sports, raising a family, loving a woman, because it's struggle, it's hardship, it's endurance, and oftentimes it's heroism, working through your fears. Every man wants the battle to live and to die for. And you see, our Lord knows this, and you are created in his image. And so this is why he refers to himself in this way. The Lord is a warrior. Lord is his name. Amen?
Amen.
But this battle, this paradigm for us, it invigorates us, huh? It's the battle when we see these movies. They stir us to move ahead, to lay it all down, God, family, church. Every man needs to know that he can put up a good fight, that he has whatever he needs to get the job done, that he has the audacity to stand up, and as I say, to lay it all down. Gentlemen, what do I mean by that? What does it mean to lay it all down? Precisely by filling a man's natural aptitude, desire, and role. It's in every one of you. To lead, to protect, and provide. This is what you're made for. For all those in your care and all those in your periphery. Gentlemen, today we need leaders. Real leaders. Amen. And I know you older guys too. You're looking for them as well. Because you see, when we don't get that leadership in our lives, it summons us into a battle. Something daring, something audacious, something dangerous. We feel a lack in our hearts. But what have we been getting in the schools, in the universities, even in the seminaries? Keep it careful. Don't rock the boat. Let's keep it safe here. No, gentlemen, no. That's why some of you are bored. Some of you are longing for something deeper. You know, it's interesting, of these three characteristics, leadership, protection, and provision, you know, some, and it's a small minority, some reject this in men. This notion of leadership. You know, it's interesting. Last week I was at the University of Nebraska. working with a bunch of young Catholic men, college-age kids. This idea that they are called naturally to be leaders in their families was unintelligible to them. It was unintelligent. They did not understand that because of the way they've been raised. And you see, gentlemen, that is critical to a young man's identity, and that's why he doesn't have it anymore. You lead, you protect, you provide. You take that away from your identity, and you're going to be floundering. I don't care how hard you're paddling. I don't care how hard you're trying. I don't care how much money you're spending or earning. You're going to be floundering. This is in your heart, and it's what you are meant to execute. And I can assure you, your wives, your children, your nieces, your nephews, young men in your church, all want you to lead them. You know, this is clear, especially when you see this in boys. There's many things they want to learn, many skills. And so you see the young boy, and some of you remember this. You were 12. And that psychosexual drive came on. It was burgeoning inside you. And you did not have somebody to mentor you in that. I've never met a man yet over 35 that's been well mentored in his sex drive. Not one. I'm not saying they don't exist. I'm saying I never met one. But you see, alongside this sex drive, what happens is there's something that comes to life inside the boy to be a man, where he desires these battles. He wants conquests. He wants deeper challenges. He wants many skills, to hunt, to camp, to fish. He wants to build engines. He wants to build houses, repair roofs. And if you don't teach your boy to be constructive, he will be destructive. And this is the basis of childhood rebellion, especially in the man. And so even more than a girlfriend, what he desires, gentlemen, he desires many men and mentors to come into his life to teach him these things so he can gain confidence as a man who stands strong in the world, so he can learn what he needs to know, so he can engage himself in adventure. He loves adventure. It's in the soul of every man here. But if you see, if they don't receive that, they'll be frustrated. And so those frustrations, gentlemen, that cause angst in middle age is that search for validation, the search for strength, for adventure that you were not mentored in. The source for many men of deep and profound anger and anxiety and security in them. You know, young women, young mothers, they see this very readily. They understand that. They know men who are often in their own lives unsettled. They know they need to be led. And this is where a lot of you are stuck, especially younger men. Every man needs a mentor until the age of 50. To do what? To lead you to an understanding of what it is to be a man, to be a father, to love a woman, to raise a family, to face yourself, to help you with your weaknesses and to summon you in your strengths, to face your own heart. If you don't get a man to help you face your own heart, you're going to shut it down. You're going to either become too hard or too passive or too weak. That's the man's struggle with his heart, because he didn't have a mentor to help him face that, to face your deepest longings, your desires, your troubles, what yearns deep within your soul. Many things for which society and others blame you for. No, gentlemen, these desires, these yearnings in your heart, they're real. They're real. They were put into you by your Creator to summon you to higher things, to build you up, to invigorate you, to give you life. And so, gentlemen, as we need to lead young men and boys, which I otherwise call our natural vocation, we need to lead our boys in teams. This is why boys aren't working together, you see, because they need a commander to lead these packs. Every boy wants to be part of a pack, a platoon, a band of brothers. Every man does. And so you see this early in life with the boys. They don't want to be around girls. They want to be with their buddies, doing things, on the move. Every man is like a dog. Your wives already know this. Every man is like a dog because he wants to be in his pack and he wants to be on the move. This is just the way the boys are, and you can't so domesticate them. It's difficult for boys to sit down all day in school. You remember how difficult that was. Young boys are blamed because they can't sit still. Well, they're not supposed to be sitting still for 7-6 hours a day. That's against their nature. I'm sorry. You cannot tame a tiger. And you so restrain a boy, close him in, and he will be frustrated. This is what you see in a lot of young boys today. I know some schools where boys aren't allowed to go outside all day. They have to stay inside. Because you see, the women running these schools want to make sure the boys stay safe. See what we need to fight for, gentlemen? What is this business about staying safe? No, you lead the men out. Don't worry about danger so much. Don't worry about letting him roam free. That's what he's made for. You cannot tame a tiger. Now, yes, boys certainly need to study, but they need to be out during the day. He needs to keep moving. Like I said, he's like a dog. He needs to be kind of on the go. And you see what happens. You know what happens when you have one dog and he's in the house? He whimpers and whines. Really follows his master around, you know, whimpering and whining, wanting to be stroked. That's what goes on, gentlemen. Every man is like a dog. And so you over-domesticate him, he'll become deeply frustrated, deeply unsettled, and deeply angry. And you see what's happening, gentlemen, we're letting the women around us impose this on young boys. In schools, in daycare centers, in the homes, careful. So you see, gentlemen, as I said, every boy, as much as he needs leaders, he needs a band of brothers, a man to lead him and his band of brothers, to take him on these adventures, camping, hunting, fishing. You know, a lot of men don't like hearing this, even a lot of priests, but men have a deep desire to learn how to fight, don't they? How many, when you were young, wanted to fight, to box, and to wrestle? To know how to take care of yourself. This is deep within you. You know, by the way, this is how the Christian brothers in Jersey and New York got vocations. They boxed with young boys in the basements. You think they had problems getting men to enter the seminary? This is not rocket science. Gentlemen, in our Christian, especially medieval history in Europe, there were countless guilds and fraternity where men used to fence. You could see these old prints, Catholic guilds, even older guys with big guts. They used to fence with each other without masks, without protection. And the priests used to be engaged as well. And the boys used to do this. And the priests used to actually be the instructors. The oldest existing image of a fencing instructor in the world is of a priest. Wouldn't that be great? Priests start teaching our boys how to use a sword. I started learning how to use a two-handed broadsword last year. You don't know what ecstasy is. This is what we need to do in the parish, gentlemen. You get the idea? We must be working with boys, setting up programs for them, protecting them. In years back, we used to have several. Now we don't have as many. You may not know this, gentlemen, but your wives have been praying about this for years, for you to be led by other men and your priests. Gentlemen, you've got to do it yourselves in your own parishes. This is a natural community for us. Now, some of you gentlemen will think, well, you know, I really don't have these skills. You know, the skills you're talking about, I don't have those. You see, gentlemen, let me tell you something. This is your natural vocation, to lead, protect, and divide. The first is to lead. It is in your soul to guide others. You know, when you were younger, you were dying for men just to reach out to you. Just to reach out. Son, how you doing? Is there anything you want to talk about? What do you desire? What do you dream about? What do you need help with? You know, again, there used to be lots of organizations in our churches. Again, they used to be very active. I'm working with the Knights, trying to stir them up a bit. You know, over 80% of the ministries in the church are run by women. I am not a woman hater, gentlemen. I have loved women very deeply. But men have got to get out there and start assuming these leadership positions in the church. Amen? Yeah. Gentlemen, you Knights, KFCs, the reason why young men are not staying in your ranks, our ranks, I'm a Knight too, is because what happens, these young men come in and they're desiring your leadership. They want your guidance. They want you to show them the faith. They want you to accept them as a brother, as a son. Do you get the idea, Knights? So you see what you have to be doing? These young men that come in your ranks. Young man, if there is anything you need, you let me know. Here is my number. At any time, if there's anything you want to talk about, you give me a call. I'm at your disposal. Reach out to them. Guide them. Show them you want to spend time with them. Give them some attention. Give them yourself. This is why you're not happy, gentlemen, because you see, if you don't lead men in this way, you're not fulfilling your natural vocation, and you can't complete your happiness. I'm sorry, it doesn't happen. It's all in you by nature. You know, this is the case too with women. They need to be mentoring other women as well. You know, it's interesting that the human female mammal is the only mammal that stops procreating before death. And the order of nature, that is so that females, once they finish raising their children, help other females raise theirs. Gentlemen, you are to participate in household tasks. I understand that. But it is not on par with the woman. The church speaks very clearly. You know, the woman is the queen of the home, and she has predominantly the household tasks. They are not to be heavily imposed upon you. In the order of nature, there are other women are supposed to be helping them with these things so you can fight the battles. And gentlemen, there's too many battles out there now because we, as older men, are becoming overly domesticated. And this is what your sons are taught in the colleges. They have to be doing all the household chores. And you see, these young men, I see these young fathers all the time. Okay, they're struggling because they think, gosh, I got to be home, you know, working with my family and doing the chores. You know, I got to pitch in 50%. When it's necessary, you pitch in intensely. I understand that, gentlemen. But some of you know, and I'm validating this in your souls, you don't feel this natural call to engage in household work, but those around you are telling you, well, you must share these duties 50-50. No, that's not in the order of nature, gentlemen. Again, you help out when you need to help out. I understand that. And some men need to help out disproportionately so because other women are not helping these young mothers, and that's why these young mothers are always exhausted, expecting you to come to the fore. But you see, gentlemen, we're becoming overly domesticated, and we're not getting that strength. We're not banding with our bonded brothers. We're not doing the things we need to do to band together and to fight these battles. And so evil is proliferating in our society because we have sat out the battle. And you remember what happened to David. I looked at that passage up recently in the RSV. It said, when kings normally go out to battle, David sent out his officers. He didn't go out to battle. And so he was strolling along the rooftop. Then what happens? He catches eye on a beauty worth beholding. Okay. Falls into deep sin. Gentlemen, one of the predominant reasons, this is my opinion, aside from sexual frustration, I understand there's a lot of psychosexual issues where men have deep fears and insecurities about this. But the reason they are struggling with pornography is because we are not leading them out into the battles. This is probably the predominant sin young men confess today. And they struggle with deeply, and we got to lead them out of this. They want to be led to higher things. You see, gentlemen, too, one of the things, too, with this whole pornography problem, men have not learned how to love other women. Now, this may sound a little strange, but in order to really love the woman in your life, you have to really be loved first by the men who mentor you and guide you, and to be loved by your brothers. Gentlemen, you're called to love as a man loves, not as a woman loves. And you see, the only way you see the love of a man is through that mentorship. The only way you can understand what it is to love as a man is when another man loves you first and takes you under his wing and guides you. That's love in a man's language. Love in a man's language is when another man spends time with him, Let's do this together. Let's get engaged. Let's work on this. That's love in a man's language. And until you find the identity of love first in your mentors and in your band of brothers, you will not be able to love your wife securely as you would otherwise want to do. This is where young men are gravely struggling. Their wives see it. They are struggling in their ability to love. So, gentlemen, you could see in the way of loving a man for what he's called, you must love him so as to lead him, to protect him, and provide for him and all those in your care. But you lead these young men who become also leaders, providers, and protectors. And you lead them into the battles. Come here, son. I'm going to teach you. I am going to make you a fisher of men. I'm going to lead you into your own heart. I'm going to help you, son. I'm going to help you overcome your weaknesses. Son, I'm going to help you reinforce your strengths. I'm going to teach you how to be a man. I'm going to teach you how to fight. I am going to teach you how to lay it all down. Son, just follow me. I will lead you out into the battles. So what are the battles today? We just mentioned one, pornography. They're all around us, and we're seldom engaged. And you know, it disturbs me that we turn these moral battles into debates, fighting them on the academic level. No, gentlemen, that is not enough. We've got to get out there in the fields, taking those hills. Amen? Amen? That is what we are called and summoned to do, and that's where we find our happiness. You know, I'll tell you something. I learned a lot about manhood doing two things. Our boys are being led by women. They're being over-domesticated, being taught that we must keep everything very careful. No, that's not a way a boy needs to be led to make him strong and vital and brave. Oftentimes now it happens that boys cannot participate in sports unless there are girls participating on the teams. There's over 30 girls alone in California playing on high school varsity and junior varsity football teams. You know, when I was a kid, that would have just been out of Mars. Your boys can't even play alone, or rather as boys and as men, without girls being brought into the mix anymore. Gentlemen, careful. I understand they can be around girls and need to at certain times for certain venues, but when they are playing sports, they need to play as young boys and men. Amen? Amen. So protect them, gentlemen. Protect their right to be a boy, to be a young man, to be formed with other boys, to be formed under men. This is the only way we can get them to understand their identity and raise them with security. Gentlemen, just a final word on abortion before I close here. We've got to band together on the local level first, then the state, and then the national level. But this is a local battle. That's where we start, gentlemen. And I assure you, abortion will not end until men start standing up in their local communities first. Amen? Amen? Gentlemen, and what I see a lot today is women engaged heavily in the battle, and there are casualties at home. Not that women shouldn't participate, not that they shouldn't play a certain part or role in assisting these young women. They can and they do, and women have their own abilities to assist and to help in this matter in ways men do not. But gentlemen, understand very clearly, in terms of the actual defense and protection of life, it's a man's responsibility. Amen? Amen. In the order of nature, it's not the responsibility of a woman. And when they feel that, okay, it brings down their families. And our Lord, in his own way, says, you know, I may not bless this. And so there's many casualties at home because women aren't seeing men standing up, and so they're stepping up to the plate, and their families are dissolving. We've all seen this. It's very unfortunate. But gentlemen, too, I want to say this, too, about the pro-life movement. We stand, gentlemen, in defense of life, not because of some tag or ideology of being pro-life. But when men grow in masculine strength and identity, it is within you to stand up, to defend life because you are a man. That desire flows from you, gentlemen, to stand up when others are being murdered around you, assaulted, violated. But that drive has been squelched. It's in you, gentlemen. You just got to wake this up. That voice that says, you will not take innocent life on my soil. That will not happen right here. You want to be known as the man who fights. In your favorite movie, Braveheart, you remember Robert the Bruce. Powerful scenes resonate in that movie. We want to be the man showing up with sword in hand, uncompromising, ready for battle. But we find ourselves, gentlemen, like Robert the Bruce. You know, he's the guy that keeps folding, doesn't have the courage. He keeps caving in under pressure. He's the leader among the nobles, but he won't stand up. He sides with the wrong guys, and he regrets it because he sees he's in the wrong. And a man has to die in order for him to see that. Gentlemen, so like Robert the Bruce, there's this voice pinned down inside you. You haven't really got it. What can you do? Just keep it safe. Oh, well, that's for other men to take care of. You don't really have what it takes to lay your life down. You're not really the man other men think you are. If they only knew you. Gentlemen, this is the voice of that insidious accuser. Yes, who may work with some insecurities inside you, but he plants these inside you, see, or reinforces those negative thoughts about you and your abilities and your manhood to emasculate you, to drag you down. No, that's not you, gentlemen. But you have to fight vigorously against this accuser, this inner voice, whether it comes from Satan and or yourself. You've got to pray against it and rebuke that. Because that kind of reinforcement, that can only be from the devil. He does not want to see you engaged. And I know many of you men fail in courage because you're not being led. You know, Aristotle asked the question in the Ethics, can a man learn courage without going to battle? Gentlemen, the reason you have not got that courage in your soul is because other men haven't been leading you into the battles. Or enough of them to what is difficult, what is tough, what is arduous, what is manly. And I understand many of you make great sacrifices in sports, and you make great sacrifices in coaching. Please continue that. You're doing well. But sports is not enough. Oh, it's primal and elemental. I understand that. But we got to start leading men into other real battles and showing our juniors that we are men who stand up, that we are fighting. The strength, I assure you, is within you. But it does need to be summoned. That's why it's squelched, gentlemen. Because mentors haven't come into your life, may even priests or others, coaches, who haven't challenged you in the things you need to be challenged. So you see, gentlemen, whether you have been led in your life or not, you got to break this chain. You have to start leading. Other men will follow. Just start reaching out. And if you're unsure, you just ask God for the strength and the insights on how to do that. And you work together. You work together with other men. This is how you do it. You're meant to work in teams. You're meant to work in your packs, your band of brothers. This is how you got it, gentlemen. This is how we learn sacrifice. This is how we learn bravery, courage. This is how we gain the esteem of women around us and of other men. When we show them that we have it in us to fight. What we must do is not focus on a man's weaknesses, but summon him in his strengths. You know, I apologize, it's been the fault of the church. You know, what I learned is how to dissect a man and a woman in their weaknesses, in their sins, and kind of direct this and show them where they're going wrong. I never learned how to summon men in their strengths. It's doing a lot of good things, but the problem is, and I've read a lot of these old manuals in the church that used to form young boys and young men, for the priesthood. We weren't taught how to summon men in the powers within them, but yet we were taught very well how to dissect them in their sins. That is not how you lead a man, and that is not how you lead your sons. Gentlemen, the most painful memories you have inside you is when another man, one of your seniors especially, said, "You're an idiot. What is wrong with you? Why can't you get this done? Get with it, will you?" The most painful voices you've heard in your life. Gentlemen, you don't use these with your sons. That's not the way you deal with a man. You summon him in his strengths. Yes, you deal with his weaknesses. And you carefully do that. But you see, we cannot get strong men unless we focus on their strengths first. Amen? And so some of you looking at yourself saying, you know, well, just a mitigated version of this. Because you look at yourself, well, I wasn't really trained to fight. I wasn't really summoned out to many battles. Don't even know how to camp or hunt or fish or do any of these things. Gentlemen, this thrust of manhood, its vitality and strength is in your soul. It is rooted and placed in your hearts no matter what you're training. And it has to be reawakened. You know, when Samuel was anointing the kings, they anointed Saul, who was a brave and upright man initially, fell from God's grace. We won't get into the story. Sam was told by our Lord, "Okay, Samuel, we have to look for another. Now we're going to go out sacrificing in Bethlehem, and you invite this man named Jesse and his sons." And so Saul goes into his home, Samuel, goes into the home of Jesse. He says, "Bring in your sons." The first was strong, brave, tall. And so were others. Men of great quality. Men of great strength. But our Lord says to Samuel, "No, Samuel, not him. And not him. Not this one either." Okay, the sons were gone. And he said, "Well, Jesse, is this all your sons?" Said, "Well, there's, you know, the youngest, he's out in the field shepherding the sheep, picking off Coke bottles with his sling." He said, "Well, look, bring him in." So he was a young man looking at experience. And our Lord says to Samuel, "Do not judge from his appearance or from his lofty stature, because I have rejected him. Not as a man sees does God see, because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart." Gentlemen, look into your heart. Summon those strengths. Revitalize that courage. Be again a man who's vitalized as in that vitality of your youth. And start moving forward. Gentlemen, I've got CDs in the back. My own men's. I try to help men understand their masculine identity and walk that masculine journey. And third, how to help men understand how to mentor other men. I've got CDs in the back there. They're yours for the taking. If you'd like to leave a donation, that'd be greatly appreciated. But if not, that's okay. But I'm here to lead men out to the battle and to help you understand your masculine journey. If you can't use those, then you take them for other men, your nephews, your sons, your grandsons. Maybe they can use them. Gentlemen, we have to bring men, summon them into that masculine identity so they can move forward. And once I saw this in my own, I know it's time, gentlemen in the back. They have this little monitor here, this little screen, okay? Gentlemen, my mind changed when I finally understood what Jesus Christ did in his apostolic ministry of 3 years. He spent over 90% of his time, I'm sure, just mentoring other men in a pack, a band of brothers. That's what he did. And he took them aside. And a minimal amount of time, he went out preaching publicly. But he spent time with his band of brothers. And he mentored them and he guided them for 3 years. And you see what he did in his church. So you gentlemen, go and do the same. And God be with you on your way.
We hope you enjoy this recording of Dr. Phil Chavez, founder of the Men's Academy. To find out more about our training and resources on Christian manliness, visit www.themensacademy.org. Thank you.